Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
And it is Friday at noon, and we welcome on Carl Calabrese. Carl, happy Friday.
Same to you, Joe. It's been a while since we've talked. It's good to hear your voice again.
It sure has, and I have a feeling we'll be talking a lot more leading up to this election.
It's coming. It's right around the corner.
I want to start in Erie County with the budget proposal from the county executive. Carl, I have one question, and then obviously other thoughts you have on the budget. But you know, he talked about the doom and gloom of all the stuff he claims. You know, Trump is killing the county, and we're going to see the shortcomings in 27. Well, if that's true, Carl, why the heck would he purchase this golf course in Amherst and, you know, throw $7 million at it and add 7 new jobs if all this stuff is coming? It seems pretty irresponsible.
And ask for $20 million to study the construction of a new jail, which even Kevin Hartwick, a Democrat, raised red flags about. There's a great big gap here between what he says and what's going on. Also, if you notice in the article about the budget, Joe, it said that he also predicted gloom and doom about sales tax receipts for this budget because of Trump and tariffs and everything else. And it didn't happen. Didn't happen. In fact, sales tax receipts are up a significant amount in Erie County and helped him to put out this budget. You've got to take everything he says throughout the year, not just at budget time, with a great big grain of salt.
I mean, you look at this operating budget of $2.28 billion for a county of under a million people. I mean, Carl, that seems outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't stop. It government continues on, and I've said this for a long time, Joe. I used to teach this in my class at UB, and I lived it when I was supervisor. Our problem with government is that we continue to throw money into systems that are 40, 50 years old, that have old technology, old rules of doing things, old organizational structures that really don't address modern problems. And the secret, I think, to getting control of government spending is not just to haphazardly cut, but to really look at your organization and to look at where things can be consolidated and reorganized and repurposed. I did it in Tonawanda, and I cut almost $1 million out of our budget without laying anybody off, because what happens is when you do a major reorganization of departments, there's a lot of people in those systems that don't want to deal with change. They've been in government for 25, 30, 35 years. They're probably eligible for retirement. And when they see the change that's coming, new leadership, new mission, they say, I don't really need this in my life now. I'm just going to retire. And so you get all kinds of retirements voluntarily. But nobody does that. We just throw money at these things. The analogy I used to use with my class was, imagine a water pipeline. Only in this case, instead of water going in one end, you got dollars going in. And the other end, instead of water coming out, you've got services. But the problem is that pipeline is not, it's broken. There are leaks in it, and the leaks may be outdated union contracts. The leaks may be state mandates. The leaks may be old technology. And so if you don't fix those leaks, you're going to continue to pour money in on the one end, and get less and less out on the other. And the go-to position for most people, especially Democrats, is if you're not solving the problem by putting more money in the beginning of the pipeline, well, we need more money. And they never look at the leaks that are, in many cases, organizational, structural, outdated systems. As I said, I reorganized and consolidated a number of departments. I had four departments in town government that dealt with water one way or another, whether it be clean water, wastewater, industrial water. We reorganized it into one department called the Water Resources Department. I consolidated my youth, parks, and recreation departments together. We consolidated the town clerk and the receiver of taxes together. Got better services with fewer people and $1 million less spending. It can be done. It just, there's no will to do it at any of these levels.
Yeah, I mean, we were sold that, hey, the state is taking over the stadium, and the county, instead of saving that money, just found, you know, more jobs. I mean, you talk about cutting jobs. The Erie County is adding more and more jobs every budget, 17 new full-time jobs. I don't get it for a county this size.
And you talk about the Westwood Country Club project. You know, Amherst, Joe, do you have any idea how many parks, town, county, state parks Amherst currently has?
I do not.
34. Jeez. 34. Jeez. Okay? And so this was purely an effort by the Democrat county executive to bail out the Democrat town board members in Amherst on a really nasty project of buying this golf course from the private sector for $7.8 million. Putting another $20 million plus into studies and planning, and being stuck with the bond payments on that $7.8 million that they bought it for, it was really just an effort to get them off the hook politically on what is a very big political liability in Amherst.
It sure is. I mean, you know, you look at that race, Carl, and I'll get into other races towards the end of the segment. But you know, since we're talking about the Westwood Country Club and that has become a big focus of the election. I mean, do you see a potential upset in Amherst?
Oh, absolutely. I think the ground is fertile for change. There's a lot of dissatisfaction amongst voters in Amherst. Republicans have put together a very credible ticket for supervisor and town board, Gagliardo being a local business person, John Trabert being a retired police officer, Mary Dormer being a high-level administrator at the college level. And so the ground is ripe. Now, whether or not it happens, it all depends on turnout. The structural problem for the Republicans is they're down 13,000 in enrollment. Amherst has become a very blue town, a very liberal town, and it's going to be incumbent on the Republican organization not only to get their vote out, but to get out the independent vote and to capture a certain number of dissatisfied Democrats. And they're out there. They're certainly out there. They tend to be a little older Democrats, 50 years of age and older, but they're certainly the opportunity there. We'll see what happens. And there's still a lot of campaign to go yet in terms of what issues may come. There's always the opportunity for an October surprise by either side.
You know, you talk about Amherst being a blue town, Carl. I can't believe in 2000, George Bush won the kids' vote at the Amherst Middle School.
Yeah, things have radically changed, Joe. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that you had the three first-ring suburbs. Cheektowaga was a reliable ticket-splitting town. Even though enrollment was Democrat, they had proven over many, many decades that they would be willing to vote for a Republican, whether it be Ned Reagan or Ed Rakowski or Ronald Reagan or Al D'Amato, you know, George Pataki. They proved that. And now they've got a majority Republican town board. But Tonawanda and Amherst have gone from reliable Republican towns to very reliable Democrat towns. And when you combine the population of Democrats in Cheektowaga, Tonawanda, Amherst with Buffalo, Republican Party has a real challenge countywide, winning countywide races with when you start off with that much of a disadvantage in that major city and its three first-ring suburbs.
For sure, for sure. Let's go national, Carl, to the shutdown that is still going on. And, I mean, beside John Fetterman, there does not seem to be a Democrat out there that wants to sign on with Republicans. And now you've got Mark Kelly going on CNBC trying to sell that the Republicans could end this any moment. I mean, how much longer are they going to go with this messaging before something is done?
I think it will be sometime after this weekend, because this weekend is nationwide No Kings Rally Day. Now, if you recall, the last time the Democrats and Chuck Schumer acquiesced and voted to keep the government open, it was last March, the progressive left raised holy hell within the Democrat Party, went after Schumer with a vengeance. He is very cognizant of that, and I always wondered, there was no way they were going to vote for any type of compromise to reopen the government before this far-left series of rallies on Saturday. They're going to let that play out. No way they were going to add gasoline to the fire of the far-left's dissatisfaction with Democrat leadership for not being tough enough and fight harder against Donald Trump. So I think once this weekend is over, the atmosphere will change. That may give the Democrats the opportunity to figure out how to get out of this mess they've put themselves in. You know, this is an interesting shutdown, Joe, because it's so different from past shutdowns. Past shutdowns were usually driven by Republicans who demanded the government spend less, and they weren't going to vote for any budget or continuing resolution because of that reason. This is just the opposite. This is being driven by Democrats who want to spend more. They want to undo the one big beautiful bill, which was passed in both houses by virtue of the fact that Republicans have the majority and can pass legislation they want. And you know, they want to add more spending. They want to refund NPR and PBS. They want to take away the work requirements for able-bodied, childless people to receive Medicaid. They want to fund health insurance for illegals. They couldn't get that through the legislature because they don't control. The American people have put Republicans in control, and yet they're using the leverage of about 6 or 7 votes to drive this agenda. We'll see where it goes, but Republicans have voted in the House and the Senate 9 times to reopen the government, and it's always failed in the Senate because you need 60 votes to overcome the filibuster. And 9 times Democrats have refused to provide those votes, and 9 times the government has remained shut down. And it's amazing to me that by polling, if you believe the polling, it's still Republicans who get blamed for the shutdown. It's amazing to me, given those set of facts.
You say after the rally there might be an appetite on the Democrat side. I mean, isn't it sad how scared of the far left members of their party elected officials are?
They're in dread. They're petrified of it. They're not just scared. Scared would be an improvement. They're petrified of it. I was watching AOC the other night on some show, and she's talking about how, you know, the progressive left doesn't, you know, it's not a majority of the Democrat Party. Well, she's right on that. Technically, she's right. That's the truth, but it's not the whole truth. I estimate that the far progressive left represents 35% to 40% of the Democrat Party nationwide. But the problem is that's where the energy comes from for the party. That's where the elites reside. That's where the money comes from. And they are driving the party. They're certainly punching over their weight class, but it's a minority, but it's a large minority. It's a very vocal and it's a very powerful minority. And the problem the Democrats have, like Chuck Schumer, is, and many of them come from safe districts, the problem is primaries. They're deathly afraid of being challenged from their left by progressive leftists in primaries and getting beat in a primary. And then that victor goes on to win the November election because it's a safe Democrat district. That's what drives their fear. And it's legitimate. Quite honestly, it's legitimate. They should fear that. And that's what's pulling the party further and further to the left. If Mondani wins in New York, it's going to be an even greater tug on the party to move to the left. I think it would be great for the Republicans if he does get elected from a political and a visual standpoint.
Because if Mondami wins, it's the biggest city in the country, and you can say that's the new Democrat Party. You know, also, Carl, if Mondani wins, I mean, does he start as a one-term mayor? I mean, half the stuff he's promising will never happen.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing he's gotten this far. Nobody ever thought he had a chance in that primary against Andrew Cuomo, and yet he won. He won convincingly. I read an article about a month ago about the Democratic Socialists of America in New York City and how they've organized their campaign. Joe, I got to tell you, it was a master's level course in grassroots politics. On any given day, they've got between 50 and 60,000 volunteers working phones, going door to door, sending out mail. It really is impressive from my standpoint in a very scary way. And if this model works, in New York City to elect this guy. I think you'll see in other places. I think you'll see it come back to Buffalo. I mean, wasn't that long ago we had a Democratic Socialist of America, India Walton, run for mayor, beat Byron Brown in a primary, lose in a general election. But I've said to people many times, Buffalo has always been known as a so-called, quote, conservative Democrat town, a religious town, an ethnic town, a blue-collar town, more conservative old-school Democrats. And yet, in that election, she got 40% of the vote in Buffalo. So if you're a member of the New York State Democratic Socialists of America, if you're in the leadership, you got to look at that and say, you know, if we can take the model that wins for Mondani in New York City, and we start with a base of 40% in Buffalo, Buffalo could be the next target.
But how far away from Mamdani is Sean Ryan?
By his voting record, not at all. I mean, they've got identical voting records, and that remains to be seen. What happens if Sean Ryan is elected mayor, you know, in terms of development, economic development? I mean, you've got a county executive now who's, you know, never been real friendly to development, developers. We just saw that recently with his criticism of developers. Ryan is certainly there, a big critic of the IDAs. We are stuck, Joe. Our problem in Buffalo, Western New York, is we are stuck on an obsolete model of economic development, the shovel-ready model, which even though a site is shovel-ready, it's still going to be 18 months plus to get a building built. And in today's day and age, time is everything. And when you study other northeastern Rust Belt cities and how they've managed to get double-digit growth, they pretty much put aside the shovel-ready, and they've gone to a build-to-spec program philosophy where you build the building and then you go out and you attract tenants for it. It's kind of like, you know, if you build it, they will come. It's worked very well in other northeastern snowbelt, rust belt cities, but we are still stuck on philosophy that really has seen better days in the past.
To that point, Carl, we were talking before this segment about downtown Buffalo and the current trajectory. Given the effects of government, city, county, state, what did kill downtown Buffalo, and what will it take from our elected officials to stop the trajectory? I'm not saying bring it back to where it was, but at least turn the trajectory around.
Yeah, well, obviously COVID killed Buffalo, because up to that point there was somewhat of a renaissance going. Again, not nearly as robust as other Rust Belt cities because of New York State politics, which is always going to be a drag on Buffalo, taxes, regulations, and so on and so forth. But COVID certainly really, really hurt Buffalo by taking so many people out of offices and putting them in their homes. We have yet to recover from that. Now, I was listening to some of your show, and you know, you were talking about how, you know, the Bisons wanted a party deck and couldn't get it. I mean, there's so many things like that that we seem to be stuck in short-sightedness. we can't get out of our own way with some of this stuff. And none of it's, there's not one thing that's going to do it. There's not one silver bullet. And that's one of our other problems in this area. We always look for the silver bullet. It's a number of things that have to occur. It all starts with your viewpoint, your willingness to have a vision beyond the status quo and to adopt other ways of doing things that are working in other places. And we have a tough time with that, bringing those kind of new ideas that challenge the status quo in New York State in general, in Western New York in particular.
You know, I mean, Shays gets whatever they want, but the Bisons can't get a party deck. I just don't get the thinking.
Yeah.
Carl, my final question, I want to take it back to the local elections. We talked about Amherst. When you look at countywide, you have the comptroller's race, and you have a few legislator races, but since, you know, it's only for one term, you don't have many. I mean, do you see any other upsets in Erie County other than Amherst possible?
Right now, no, but, you know, that could change. We still have, 2.5 weeks to go. That could change, but right now, no. I think it's going to come down to pretty much as a status quo election. If that changes, we can talk about it on future Fridays, because I'm, constantly getting feedback from folks in these campaigns and how it might be going. But right now, I think it's going to be a status quo election. But I really do think the biggest single most important, most significant election this year is the town of Amherst, being it's one of the largest towns, the largest town in Western New York. Its politics can go outside of its borders. Its elected officials can go outside of their borders to run for county office. It's a real powerhouse politically and issue-wise. So that's the one I'm watching very, very closely.
And you know, if say that happens, and Gagliardo's in, and he's very successful, and you know he's able to win re-election. I mean, what does it take for that domino effect to then affect the assembly, the state senate, the county legislature in that district?
Well, if he wins, one of the reasons will be because of organization, grassroots, getting out the vote, having volunteers. And, you know, that's how you build a party. I've said this many times, that the problem with the Republican Party in Buffalo is that for 40 years, Buffalo was ignored. Party did not run candidates. You cannot build a party if you don't run candidates. Candidates attract not just money, but they attract volunteers and all kinds of supporters. And that can be parlayed into the next race for another office. And so, you know, if the Republicans can pull off an upset in Amherst, you know, they will have begun the rebuilding process of the party, of the grassroots organization, of the ability to then go and attract A-list candidates, because you can now, as a party chairman, say, look, we've got the infrastructure. Okay, the old days are gone when Amherst did not have a very potent political structure. We now have re-energized the party, reorganized the party, and it doesn't end with the supervisor's race or council race. We can now apply it to the county legislative race, the state senate race, the state assembly race, and it makes it easier to attract A-list candidates when they see that type of performance by a political party.
Carl, always great catching up with you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Joe. Same to you.
That is Carl Calabrese. You hear him every Friday with David Bellavia at noon, and happy that he was able to join me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.